It's great to see you all. I've got a couple of questions to start us off. Not your usual questions. The first one, what are you feeding your mind? It's not a picture of your Sunday lunch, hopefully. What are you feeding your mind? It's a bit of an odd question. Do you consciously choose what you feed your mind? Or do you just let whatever is sort of passing by your way come in and dwell in there and mull over it? Or do you go around in circles, endlessly worrying about the same thing? Or perhaps you allow the voices of other people to come in and squash the truths that God has for you? Do you get lost in the internet's endless world of knowledge and information? Or do you find yourself swimming in the sea of random comments on social media? These are just some examples of the battle and the battles that are going on in our mind. And this morning I want to share what God tells us about how to win this battle for our minds and our thoughts. Because I believe God wants to stir us up a bit this morning. Many of us are quite comfortable after perhaps a nice relaxing holiday. We're feeling relaxed and refreshed. Or perhaps that's already all gone out the window already. But God loves us too much to leave us as we are today. He wants to transform us. He wants us to renew our minds, to see with his eyes, to bring hope and freedom as we embrace his truth. So let's begin just by praying and inviting God to speak to us this morning. So let's pray. Father, we offer ourselves to you this morning. We long to hear from you. So I pray, Lord, that you use my words in that individual way to speak to each person. Come, Holy Spirit, change us. Transform our minds. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to be looking at a well-known passage from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It's chapter 4, verse 4 of Philippians. You'll probably be familiar with it or have heard it before. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. So in this short passage, Paul gives some gems of truth about winning this battle for our minds. The first is this, the ability to celebrate whatever the circumstances. Paul says to rejoice always, not to be anxious about anything, and to think about whatever is true, noble, right, etc. Now, in first reading this, there's a real risk that it sounds like a little bit of self-help advice. Just keep focused on the positive, you'll be fine. But that would completely miss the point of what Paul's saying. I saw a funny comedy sketch of a counsellor meeting with a client for the first time. And the counsellor explained that they just charge £5 for the first 5 minutes. It's free after that. Most sessions don't last more than 5 minutes. The client was a bit intrigued, but intrigued to find out more. So they started explaining their situation and what they were struggling with. Then the counsellor said, okay, I'm just going to give you two words, and I want you to take these words from this session and apply them to your life. Stop it! The client was quite distraught. And when they tried to explain the reasons why they did what they did, the counsellor said, no, we don't talk about those things. We don't talk, just stop it. And sadly, I think the church environment can sometimes be similar. And not overtly or intentionally telling people not to talk about their problems, but just by an overemphasis on the positive things, what's going well. And those people are not encouraged to talk about the problems. And I hope we don't promote that too much here, but I'm sure we're sometimes guilty. So Paul is not giving some glib self-help advice about avoiding anything negative. After all, he's been tortured to the point of death. He's been persecuted way beyond what most of us will ever experience. And through that, he has learned how God uses that suffering to grow us, to grow our character, to change us. In his letters to the church in Rome, he says, "We glory in our sufferings. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." So Paul's not telling us to deny our sufferings or negative experiences, but to embrace them and to keep our focus on all that's good despite our circumstances. So Paul's second point in winning this battle for our minds is over what are we feeding our minds. So how do we feed our minds? Well, I think it's helpful to think of it a bit like chewing the cud. We've got the original food that goes in to an animal, and then there's this secondary process of just chewing it over again. And it's a bit like that with our mind. We can expose ourselves to, you know, what we listen to, what we watch, what we hear, the environment that we surround ourselves by. And then the secondary process, what we ruminate on, what we contemplate and think about, all that we've experienced. Now, we have got sort of a reasonable amount of control of what we experience, what we choose to watch and read and listen. But obviously not everything. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But we've got a lot more control about what we think about, what we chew over. But a lot of it, unfortunately, is sometimes subconscious. And I think it's this, what Paul's talking about in verse 8 when he says, think about such things. Let's look at the first one. Paul says to think about whatever is true. Well, what is truth? Jesus says, "I am the truth." Now, the battle that's going on for our minds and our thoughts today, especially in our culture, is that we're increasingly exposed to a whole variety of beliefs and truths when we're at school, from our friends, when we get to university, in our jobs, in our workplaces. There's all environments feeding us all sorts of different information. I was speaking to one teacher recently who said at their school the children are encouraged to use crystals, to believe that crystals bring well-being. And wow, I had a look at what people believe about how crystals do this, and quite frankly, the word flaky doesn't even do it justice. And so over the years, I've been exposed to all sorts of these different beliefs and truths. It's hard for them not to just permeate gradually into our subconscious. And so we need to ensure that what we're chewing over, the thoughts that are going around our minds, are the truth, God's words. Here's a few truths to reflect on. You are God's children, fearfully and wonderfully made. God's plan for your future is filled with hope, and he rejoices over you. One day God will wipe away every tear from your eyes and take away all the pain you have suffered in this world. Jesus died so that you and God could be reconciled, and nothing will ever separate you from God's love. These are just a few of the truths from Scripture. I picked them up from something called God's Love Letter. It's a combination of scriptures put in the form of a letter from God to you. And I'd love to share these letters with you, though I'll have some available to take away at the end. Some of you will have heard of it before, but there's no harm in just reflecting on those again, reading them, maybe keep them somewhere close to hand so that when you start to doubt, when those lies start to come into your mind, you can pick that up and just believe in them again. Maybe keep them in your back pocket with your alpha leaflets. Carry them around and then just reflect on those. Now, the reason that the battle for our minds and our thoughts in particular is so important is because our thoughts end up influencing everything else in our life. Because our thoughts lead to actions. And then these can become habits. So this picture sort of just gives an illustration. The thoughts become actions. Those actions then end up becoming habits. The habits impact our character, and then our character influences our destiny. Jesus says that it's what comes out of a person that makes us unclean. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And so it's not what we stick on the outside and what we wear and how we look that's important. It's what's in our heart. It's what's in our minds that influences us, that impacts those around us and ultimately impacts our destiny. So winning this battle is not about denying our suffering. We've talked about what we ruminate on and to reflect on God's truths rather than some of the wrong beliefs we're exposed to. Let's go back now to just look at that first stage of this digestion analogy, what we feed our minds, original food coming into our thoughts. And I want to make a couple of suggestions this morning about how we can influence these positively. The first is around spiritual disciplines, and the second is around making wise choices about technology. We were really blessed to hear a great teacher called John Mark Comer at New Wine this year. And he was focusing on the need to be discipled by Jesus. Like being his apprentice. What Simon was talking about last week, coming to know him more and his ways, becoming like him. And John Mark, first of all, pointed out that this transformation, this spiritual discipline, spiritual formation, it doesn't happen just by reading the Bible. Neither does it happen just by the Holy Spirit. We are intricately involved in this process of formation. It occurs by getting into good habits, practicing these spiritual disciplines. It's a bit like, you know, and that can be a bit of effort. It can take, you know, it can take time. Disciplines such as silence, solitude, reading scripture, building deep relationships with friends, and having a Sabbath rest. They're often the first things that we lose when we get busy. I've had a pretty crazy few weeks. My mum had a stroke last month. She's going into a care home tomorrow, which has set up a whole turmoil of kind of to's and fro's and conversations and stresses amongst our family. She's doing well, but she made a good recovery, but it's taken its toll. We've got the church centre renovations going on up there, going well, but it's been on my mind a lot. We've got Alpha starting in a couple of weeks, college starting tomorrow, etc., etc. I'm not saying these things to get your pity, or your prayers are welcome, always. No, it's to point out that I've been under a lot of pressure, a lot of anxiety, and what I turn to is just work harder, you know, worry more, lose sleep. And it's been really hard, but I've been practicing, as I've been preparing this talk, practicing these disciplines of solitude, keeping my quiet times in place, keeping a Sabbath rest. Yesterday, it was so hard not to be practicing this talk, you know, worrying about what's going on at the church center, thinking all those things through. But I didn't. I took a Sabbath rest. I had the most wonderful day, building a den in the rafters of my garage with my daughter, going on a dog walk with my family. We had a great time out in the woods. I slept so much better last night as a result. But it was hard. It was a battle. It's hard to every morning not to just be getting into those, you know, thoughts going around and around my mind, but saying, no, stop. I'm going to just spend some time with God. I'm going to take that rest. We need to make these conscious choices to create space and time to be discipled by Jesus. And so here's the challenge that John Mark gave us in the summer. It's to do an audit of our daily habits. So maybe for 5 minutes when you get home or tonight, is to reflect on what your daily routine is, how much time each week you spend doing different things, watching the TV, how much time do I spend with my partner, how much time do I spend working, how much time do I spend in the evenings doing those hobbies, and then to reflect on that. Take a step back and go, what is all that time leading me towards? Is it leading me to become a follower of our culture or a follower of Jesus? And then by practicing spiritual disciplines of silence, of solitude, spending time with God, we're opening up our minds to hear from God. We tap into the most wonderful source of wisdom and of knowledge, because we have the mind of Christ in us. The problem is, we just so often ignore it, choose to go our own way, do our own thing. We just can't stop it. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. It's hard. We have to practice it. We need to offer our bodies, our minds to God to conform to the pattern, not to conform to the patterns of this world. So my second suggestion about how to feed our minds is about making wise choices around technology. Author and leadership expert Simon Sinek shares some excellent insights on technology and especially about social media. One of the bits of research he highlights is how when we receive a text message or we get a like on Facebook or people respond to our comments, our brains release a chemical called dopamine and it feels good. Now, dopamine is the same chemical that's released in our brains when we gamble, when we smoke, when we drink. So it's highly addictive. It's why we find ourselves going back to our devices again and again. Find out what people's reactions are to our responses. You know, what are their comments? How many people have liked this? Now, technology offers us some amazing opportunities to stay connected with distant friends and family, etc. The danger is that we start to turn to our devices for comfort. When we've got a problem in life, we turn to our devices rather than perhaps our friends. When we've and as we rely more on technology, we unfortunately, that distances ourselves from those around us, those real life interactions. I watched my son watching a YouTube video of somebody else playing Minecraft, which is a virtual world. I'm like going, what is that all about? And he's going, what's wrong with that? It's crazy in some ways when we think about it. But in the same way that as the introduction of the motor car or the television, say from my parents' generation, had a massive impact on the level of interaction and real life interactions between people, for our generation, technology is putting increasing pressure on how much time we spend on face-to-face communication with people around us. So how do we guard against this? How do we resist the pull of technology? How do we protect ourselves? Well, if you're like me, you need to put up some very clear boundaries. How much time am I spending browsing the internet? Or even better, what times of day am I just going to limit the time that I spend on my phone or my iPad? We've recently just, Heather and I have said, you know, we're not having devices in our bedroom anymore. That's hard. For some of us, we use them as alarm clock. What am I going to do? Buy an alarm clock. You can get them on Amazon for £2. What programs do we choose to watch on TV? There's plenty of choice out there, which is great. You can look at, you know, there's Christian options as well. If you haven't heard of UCB, have a look at that. Radio, TV. Now, I'm not suggesting that we immerse ourselves in a Christian world, a Christian ghetto, and exclude ourselves. It's just we need to spend more time with Jesus. And if we end up watching, effectively, a lot of rubbish, how are we going to allow our minds to be transformed to become more like Christ? So how do we win this battle for our minds? Well, when we're worrying endlessly or suffering, we don't deny the suffering, but we bring our request to God. We rejoice as we think about what is true, of how God sees us as dearly loved children and receive his peace. We don't allow whatever just comes our way to enter into our minds and be dwelt on. We make conscious choices about how we spend our time and the habits that we're nurturing. And we don't get lost in the internet or get drawn into endless time on social media, but we put in place limits and use them wisely. And through all this, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We're not alone. So I want to invite you to just to stand, and I'll just pray quickly and invite the Holy Spirit to help us in this battle for our minds. So let's just get into a place in our minds of receiving what God has for us. You might want to open up your hands just as a symbol of receiving from God. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We just admit that we need your help. We rejoice and we thank you, whatever our circumstances, because we know you have already won this battle. Even though the enemy tempts us to come over to his side, you have won the war. So help us to receive your truths about us, that we are your beloved children. We thank you. We are sorry when we go our own ways. Come, Holy Spirit, to help us to get into good habits, to be disciplined about what we allow into our minds, how we speak, what we watch and listen to. We cannot do this by ourselves, so we'll ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.